SBF and that whole craziness with FTX didn't help us. I think it really hurt us. And so we're in an environment, particularly domestically in the US, where we have to work harder. And that's okay, because we'll get there. We have to stay focused on what we really want instead of get frustrated by and throw our hands in the air and say, we're all going to leave the US.
You're listening to CoinDesk's Money Reimagined with Michael Casey and Sheila Warren.
Hello and welcome to Money Reimagined. I'm Sheila Warren and I'm here solo today as my co-host Michael Casey is out on book tour with his co-author Frank McCourt. A reminder, their new book is called Our Biggest Fight, Reclaiming Liberty, Humanity, and Dignity in the Digital Age. You can tune in every week to catch us on the CoinDesk Podcast Network or find our Money Reimagined feed on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform. And don't forget to subscribe, give us a thumbs up, or leave a review. We value your feedback and love hearing from you. Speaking of liberty, humanity, and dignity, I'm joined today by Danelle Dixon, my friend, who is the CEO and Executive Director of Stellar Development Foundation. Stellar, of course, as most listeners will be familiar, is a nonprofit organization, as foundations are, that uses blockchain to unlock the world's economic potential by making money more fluid, markets more open, and people more empowered. And I have to say, over the many years I've now been involved in this space, I think of Danelle as an ally. I think of Danelle as somebody who really focuses on giving voice to the historically underserved and who takes extremely seriously, as I do, and Michael does as well, the idea that the point of all of this is not just to make a ton of money. The point of all of this is to actually correct historic injustice in varying systems, not the least of which is the financial system. But Danelle, it's such a pleasure to have you. It's so good to see you.
Well, thank you. It's so awesome to see you as well. We rarely get to do this one-on-one thing, so I'm really happy to be here.
It's true. You know, so maybe I'll just, something's been on my mind a lot lately, and not to put you on the spot here, but just to jump right into this. You know, I think you and I both came into this space for similar reasons. I'd love for you to talk a bit about your personal background, which is really interesting, and Mozilla and all of that, and what led you over into the crypto ecosystem, so we can spend a bit of time on that. But then also, how are you kind of feeling about that these days? Because I'll tell you, from where I sit, it does feel more and more. Like, I watch so many people who are building with this kind of frame in mind around building a better system to serve more people. But some of the loudest voices aren't necessarily oriented in that way. And it can be discouraging, quite frankly. So I'm just curious to get, you know, a little bit of your history and your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me? Am I just maybe, I don't know, need to like, I don't know.
It's funny. I feel like it's a roller coaster, and it depends on where we sit on the ride. And also, are we in the front car, the back car, and where is the roller coaster in terms of the up and the down? Because it's hard sometimes. I mean, one of the things that I've been frustrated with over time is the fact that we focus so much at the Stellar Development Foundation, and frankly, Stellar itself and those building on Stellar, on uses and like real uses. Like we're not about like the arbitrage. We're not about like, hey, come over here and make a ton of money. It's like, let's really use this technology for the outcomes that we want. And so it's kind of hard because sometimes those voices are the ones that are not picked up by the media or picked up by regulators, or, you know, it really is the hype factor around it. But I just have to say that, like, I don't know that it's that different from my early days in the web. And I think that, so maybe I don't get as jaded by it as maybe I would have historically, because I've seen this movie before, just at a different time. And I've seen this, the process by which these things come together. And while frustrating, the end result is always like what I try to focus on, right?
Yep. Yep. Well, that's a very healthy attitude to be outcome oriented. And also to know that you're part of kind of the reason that the conversation does not always wind up in sort of the same tired loop over and over and over again, right? Which is never go up, never go down, never go up, never go down, right? And I think one thing I observed over the course of the bear market that I think it's safe to say we are, you know, well, who can say, but we
up and down in, maybe in,
that,
maybe
up and down,
not,
who knows, right? That roller coaster continues to ride. But, you know, one of the best things about that kind of environment is A, a lot of tourists exit, and B, a lot of really hard stuff gets built. And I know you have an announcement coming up. By the time we release this show, that announcement will be out. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about just how hard it is to build this technology. Because I think people don't really get it. You know, it's hard. It takes time.
Well, I think it's hard to build this technology right. And what I mean by right means that we build for sort of agnostically build a tech stack that can be leveraged by anyone to do whatever they feel is important to them and to the local group. So tomorrow, which is, I think it's March 19th, if I'm right, We are moving Sorabon, which is the smart contract platform on Stellar, into phase two. And what that means is that many of the restrictions that were trying to make sure that we were testing everything was getting into the smart contract implementation. There are about 260 contracts on Sorabon right now, but tomorrow there'll be a lot more room for lots more transactions, which will bring a lot more players to it. And so it's so exciting to be able to get here. And I think about it, and I think that, you know, we started 10 years ago. We're actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary of the Stellar Network this year. And yet we're just putting smart contract implementation into the network. There are lots of reasons for that. Many things that you could do on Stellar before, you didn't really need the smart contract implementation, but the programmability of Sorabon is amazing. And people always say, like, Apple doesn't always get to put the products into the market first, but they're the best products. So, hey, come on, maybe we're there and we're going to be the best smart contract platform. But to see this evolution and really trying to solve different problems that we see, like state bloat, that are out there in other ecosystems, and to do them uniquely on Stellar, and to build with known, we're building with Rust and Wasm, so known ecosystems, so didn't create a new language for it. It's pretty exciting to see it happen. So I'm really happy for tomorrow to sort of take over, and for the smart contract implementation to hopefully blow up and become interesting. But I'll just say, like, why is that important for us? One of the things that we've always focused on are these, like, uses that really get to problems. And so we do try to focus on the outcome piece. Like, what is it that you're trying to solve for? Don't think about the tech stack as much as the solution that is getting you to the end result that you want. And so we've moved away from just payments with on Stellar, which are awesome, and asset issuance, which makes it so you can use stable assets to be able to make these payments, to sort of these everyday financial services. So anything that you can think of that you and I might use in the Western world, like, you know, lending and borrowing and being able to generate interest on any amounts that we have sitting somewhere, they'll be available to the world on this smart contract platform in a really simple and easy way. And I think from my standpoint, like, these everyday financial services, that's how you get to the heart of the solutions that we would like to see built, which are the ones who are targeted not just on the people that already have money, but on the people that are trying to accumulate that and try to get them into be able to, like, really own and control their life in a different way. So that's the excitement of Sorabon. But there's just, you know, so much opportunity in this space generally. And I would love for us to focus more on those things than on the crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting because depending on to your point about the roller coaster and kind of the context, whatever lens you're looking through, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, we've been around for so long, 10-year anniversary, that's a big deal. Other times I'm like, but what we're doing is so foundational that we've barely been around at all. You know, we're just at the beginning of this. And to the point you just made, smart contracts, this kind of core technology, now is going to be released out into the world in this way that makes a lot more scale possible, which is extremely exciting.
Yeah.
Again, it takes the time it takes, right, to get these things done correctly, to get them done securely, to get them done in a way that's going to make sense to developers and new folks you want to build on. But
I think that's right. And I also think it's so funny because when I used to be, you mentioned earlier when I was at Mozilla and I was the COO there and really focusing on the web and really focusing on growing the web, and not just for Mozilla's products, but for all products that can be available out there, and trying to fight hard against the incumbents who were going to really try to own all the content on the web and create the walled gardens, and really focusing on this openness. And one of the things that I used to always do when I would talk about the space and in my keynotes or presentations that I would give is I would literally look at the number of days that the web had been around. Mm-hmm. And I would think about that from the standpoint of, look, we're barely at the crawling stage. We're barely at the walking stage. I think that by the time I sort of came over onto this side, we were kind of at, like, maybe hitting our teenage years on the website. Yeah. And we're still got so much to learn over there, not about the tech stack, but how to use the tech stack. Like internet technology and those foundations are there for the world to use. But really, like, we've messed up a lot on the content side of the web. And I wanted to really bring those learnings over here so we don't see the same mistakes made where we see a winner-take-all market or a five-winner-take-all market. You want to see interoperability, all these kinds of openness and all these kinds of things come together. And so when I think about, like, when I used to look at the number of days the web had been around, we have to do that kind of application here. Yeah. Yes, we've been around for 10 years, which is kind of remarkable in this space, but the technology has evolved, but so have those who are building on top of it. Yeah. And so has the acceptance of the regulators in different spaces. And one of the things I think is different and even more challenging, and which creates the frustration that we spoke about, is the fact that web technologies didn't have a secondary market. So there wasn't this like focus on this like thing that could blow up and make people really rich or make people lose a lot of money. So people focused on the outcomes of the technology. So what is this amazing website that someone could build? That's not been the case here. A lot of times we focus on the things that are like the secondary market, which is an opportunity for some, but also creates a lot of misfocus for this industry. And so that means that the tech stack hasn't been built on as much as we'd like to see to solve the problems that we want to see. But I think the bear market has us heading there. And so we see the people who can withstand that market really create some awesomeness. And that's where I think we have to like continue to focus on the youth of our industry, the opportunity in our industry, and that building for outcomes is really what we should be focused on.
I mean, if only that were a dominant mode of engagement. Although, to your earlier point, it is, right? It's just the people who get the airtime are always the ones who are actually building towards outcomes, in part because they are so busy heads down building towards outcomes, as opposed to, you know, well, other things that they could be doing with their time, let's put it that way.
I'm excited to share with you that our biggest fight, Reclaiming Liberty, Humanity, and Dignity in the Digital Age, a book I co-authored with Project Liberty founder Frank McCourt, will be released on March 12 and is now available for pre-order. Our Biggest Fight is a manifesto on the need to fix a severely broken internet with a set of workable solutions for all of us to follow. It's a hopeful book, exploring the big opportunities for innovation and prosperity that technology can bring if it's designed with humans in mind. But it's also an urgent call to action. We must get this right for society now, before it's too late. Find the link to the book in the show notes. Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts in digital assets, blockchain, and related topics convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29 to 31. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off registration with the code MRP15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com.
Now, a lot of folks, pointed a finger at regulation and policy as a giant barrier to scale, to adoption, to everything else. And Stellar, I think, has the same things as everybody else, certainly here in the United States, the same restrictions, if you want to call them that, or the same challenges, and yet has managed to really put into production products that are quite sticky. Some of this is through really through partnerships, you know, you're the MoneyGram and USDC and all these kinds of things. But I'm curious how you feel at this moment about kind of the lack of regulatory clarity that is talked about with such frequency.
Well, I think that I spent years advocating for regulation that maintained openness in the web and like made the internet a right and not a privilege, and like spent so much time really trying to get to the ground layer of that tech stack that we have over there. And so I feel sometimes frustrated by the fact that, again, that secondary market and the opportunities and the challenges there created a regulatory environment which is almost hostile sometimes to our work. And it also, I mean, we can't ignore the fact that where this industry started, which, by the way, I don't have an opinion on whether it was right or wrong, but when you talk about like the Bitcoin maxis and folks who think about that, they think that this is going to disrupt and eliminate the need for traditional financial infrastructure, which actually might work someday. But the truth of the matter is, right now, we need traditional financial infrastructure and that interoperability layer with traditional financial infrastructure. And I think together we make it all better. And so where we are today in the evolution of things is that this tech stack in combination with traditional tech stack is amazing. But I think that all of those different sort of nuances in how we discuss things created this hostility and this challenge with policy. You know, one of the things we had that was so awesome in the early days of the web is restraint by policymakers, not just in the US, but globally, sort of saying, okay, we don't want bad things to happen, but we're going to like take our hands back and go, we're going to let things go. maybe almost too much, because I'll just be honest, as a member and a person who advocated for like, hey guys, take a stand back and don't tell us what to do on privacy. We got privacy wrong on the content side of the web. And now I'm one of the folks who reviews for the Webby Awards, and I've gone through like hundreds of websites having to click through that cookie footer every time. And I'm like, damn, if we had only gotten that right, we wouldn't have to do this all the time. So I do think like lessons from when we don't work with the regulatory environment. But I also think that what we didn't do as an industry, and we need to take this one on the chin, is that we didn't go to the regulators and say, hey, forget the tech stack. Let's focus on the outcomes. And let's just say like, what are you afraid of? And let's see how we can manipulate this tech stack or the outcomes on this tech stack to get us there. So we're doing that now. You're doing that now. Like lots of people are trying to really do that now. And I'm not going to say too little too late, but I'm going to say that it does. We have a hurdle to go over. And, you know, SBF and that whole craziness with FTX didn't help us. I think it really, and Terraform Labs and all of those things, it hurt us. And so we're in an environment, particularly domestically in the US, where we have to work harder. And that's okay, because we'll get there. It's just, we have to stay focused on what we really want instead of get frustrated by and throw our hands in the air and say, we're all going to leave the US, for example.
Mm-hmm. Speaking to the kind of meet people where they are on some level, and part of the challenge is because there wasn't an emphasis on education, on working collaborative partnership. You know, we were doing this, I mean, you worked with me when I was back at the forum, right, on some of these things. And we did this internationally, but I wasn't really focusing on the US at that time. And now, to your point, there was just this kind of like, you can't regulate us. We don't need to be regulated. You can't regulate us anyway, kind of attitude. And frankly, one of the first people that came in a big splashy kind of way to Washington was Sam Bankman-Fried, right? Like he sprinkled himself and his money all over the place. And that did not work out so well. So there, when I think the industry finally showed up really, 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 really big and loud, it was the wrong way. And then it was the wrong person for many reasons. And those of us who I think were doing it consistently all the way along, you know, we're sort of drowned out. But I do think there was realization in the last couple of years, why I took this role, for example, the role I currently have at CCI. And I know you've spent an inordinate amount of time actually with policymakers testifying, we testified together, just working on that part of it. And which is to say, you know, there are challenges here. There are potential harms here. Of course there are. It's absolutely ludicrous to say that there aren't, right? Mm-hmm. What might those be? What's top of mind? And how is industry already addressing a lot of those things? Because of course we all were, right? They were being addressed, but that connection and that connecting those dots was not really being done effectively until, you know, to your point, fairly recently in the evolution of this technology. And there is a pretty big hurdle we gotta climb over, pretty big hill to climb there. Yeah. Well, but we'll get there. I do think
we will. And I think that we need to take lessons from other, like, we don't have to have it all happen today. I mean, I do get frustrated, like the stablecoin legislation in the US, which I was joking about before we came on air. Right. People are talking about how we're close. And yes, I want that to be the case. I think it should have been, in my view, the most hilarious part of like how I just get things wrong is that 3 years ago, I thought it was a low-hanging fruit. I'm like, hey, we think stablecoin legislation is crucial. We want it to be a part of it because we think people should send something stable when they're sending payments, and payments is such an important piece of what we have to offer in this tech stack. And so now to see that it just takes this many hurdles in the US, whereas outside the US, we've seen a lot of movement to be able to make stable coins valuable. That's frustrating. And yet, you know, I think in the US, we have so many other issues. So like from the, just what's happening in government and that aren't related to us. And so we have to also understand that piece of it. But, you know, I'm so like, I just got back from a trip. I went to Africa. We went to several different countries in Africa and spent time with local developers and policymakers there. And I actually just this morning was on a call with one of the central banks in the country that we were at. There is like very big difference about how they want to work together with industry. They have real challenges for their constituents and they want to solve them and they want to be aggressive in terms of those outcomes. Not only did I just realize, I've always believed, and this comes from my learnings of having been years in the Valley working at companies, is that we always think we can solve problems from here for the world. And the truth is we can't, because we don't even know what the problems are. And what I learned when we were in Lagos, for example, is that the things that we might think that they have problems with, they're actually solving in ways that maybe they have to go through three different hops and different apps to do it, but they're fine with that solution. Mm-hmm. We can make it more streamlined, but they're fine. They want to have it. There's a different problem that they see. And so meeting people where they are and understanding that we can't solve those problems and knowing that there are these super talented and passionate people all over the world that want to solve them and that are solving for their local constituents is why I'm in this. And this is why I care so much. My trip on the continent, on the African continent, was the most amazing experience because of the humans that are really focusing on all of the issues that we talk about, and yet they're doing it and they're making it happen and it's having real impact. And it just makes me realize how important the work is, the tech stack is, how important it is to be able to provide this kind of global open project that everyone can take and meld and make to what their own, and to really stay committed to it. So I think as frustrating as it gets from a regulatory standpoint, we have these pockets of light that exist that I can't stop looking at and get attracted to and think, hey, it's all good. Like, we're going to get there and it's just going to take us time. Yeah. So we got to stay in it until we get there.
Yeah. And it is very funny to me, you know, so Nigeria recently banned crypto, which was very challenging. And, you know, I'd been talking about Nigeria for many years because they're poised to be the biggest market, one of the biggest markets in the entire world, the biggest on the continent. And demographically, they're really young, they're dynamic. There's a lot of cultural export happening there. Nollywood is the next Bollywood. You know, there's going to be Afrobeats is now a category at the Grammys. I mean, their culture is just blowing up and going everywhere. And that's really all out of Lagos. This has been something that like blows my mind that there isn't more attention from everybody in the Valley, right? On Nigeria specifically, but also in Senegal and Ghana and other places that I've been privileged enough to spend some cycles. My first talk I ever gave on a big keynote that I did when I moved into crypto full-time in 2017, it was, I can't remember what I called it, but it was based on this civic tech concept of build with, not for. And this idea that you don't even understand the problem unless you have experienced the problem. Like, you just do not, no matter what you think, no matter what, like if you have not experienced that problem personally, you do not fully understand it end to end. You just don't. And you have to accept that as a premise and as a frame. And the only way to actually really get deep into the problem, let alone craft solutions, is to engage from the very beginning with people that are experiencing that problem and have already created a workaround. Because everybody, you know, there are plenty of clever workarounds and things. They might be really clunky and inefficient, but people are dealing with things. And I talked a lot about this example. I should find this talk. It's online somewhere. I talked about this example of something called Play Pump. Have you heard of the Play Pump?
No.
So this is like such an emblematic philanthropic story. So in a nutshell, there was this lack of water somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was like a village that didn't have enough water. Okay. And the women had to walk like miles and miles to get water at this, like wherever it was, lake or whatever, and then come back. And some entrepreneurs went in there from the United States, or maybe from London, as I can't quite recall. And they were like, oh, what if there were a way to pump the water from this well or whatever using natural processes like children playing? So they built these merry-go-rounds. And as the children played on the merry-go-rounds, right, they would be pumping the water. And the idea was, oh, the women can relax. They can just, you know, watch their children play, and children play anyway. And it's going to be this big solution. Massive, massive, massive fail. Okay. First of all, it turned out you would have had to run the merry-go-rounds like 12 hours a day or some crazy thing to get enough water, right, for the town. And second of all, what had actually happened was women, as they walked to get water, that was a protected space. So they were coming up with civic ideas, like how do we get rid of this leader? How do we solve this problem? Or this teacher is not, you know, teaching well, or whatever it is. And they were using that time and no one was bothering them. And that, so that this, the entire fabric of the community just disrupted. And what was the big failure? What was not actually living in that world and understanding what a good solution would look like. So anyway, I think about that a lot. I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
It went viral. It was very famous. It was like this huge failure. It kind of led to all these investigations and whatnot. But the point remains the same. You do have to be in a process of connection and build with the people you think you are solving a problem for. And you cannot understand a problem unless you personally have experienced it. It's just my fundamental foundational premises on everything.
And I don't even think that we should even, and this is part of where I've gotten to after all these years where we like work in this area where everybody thinks they can do. I always say we can't even call them problems. And it's the same thing for us to like go and to talk and to listen to what they're experiencing. Cause I think that fundamentally most people on the African continent would say that a challenge is getting money onto the continent from outside. That is fundamentally a challenge, but they have done so many things to make it work for them. And so there might be an ease of use that you can add to it, but it's just so fascinating to me. When you go and you meet people and you understand what they are trying to solve for, what they're trying to build for. We met with companies that are focused on like farmers and getting data to farmers. And it's just, it's such a fundamentally different kind of mindset when you actually go and dig in. And it's the same when I think about Argentina, for example. We all see the inflation in Argentina. We see the different rates, the blue market rate, the black market rate, the real rate. But like they've worked out a system in Argentina to make it work. It's not beautiful. It's not eloquent. Yeah, sure. There could be like things put in play that could make it more seamless. But instead of trying to like fix that part, you should just like try to say, what is it that you need and how can this tech stack help to solve it? It's just a constant learning, which is why I love what it is that we're doing. And it's just amazing to really think about what this technology can do. I'm more than ever committed to the idea that what this technology can do is solve that fundamental challenge of that cross-border piece and the everyday financial services piece, because so many people don't appreciate and don't realize that not having access to being able to get like, you know, you want funding for a project that you're doing. Hey, there's a tech stack now that can help you get that funding and you can pull that together in a simple way and you don't even have to know that it's on blockchain. And I think that's the important space that, you know, when we were in the early days of the web, we always talked about, we never talked about HTML as being the thing. We talked about like the content being available to people. And so it was a different world in terms of how we broached the conversation. And we shot ourselves in the foot a bit here because we spend so much time on its blockchain, when in truth, it's just another rail. And if we think about it as another rail that we can leverage and that you can have the option to put on there in the most, in the things that are the easiest and simplest to do for whatever use that you're leveraging, it's the best way to be able to achieve goodness for it. You know, I'm not going to lie that there aren't moments in my days when, or weeks sometimes, when I'm like, my goodness, we're doing all of this amazing work with a team that's relatively small. We have like 160, 150 people at the SDF working with an ecosystem that's like larger than us, like far by you know, hundreds of thousands. And that we don't get the attention for this ecosystem. And at the same time, I think, you know, slow and steady wins the race. And I don't mean win by being the only one. What I mean win is that we're actually achieving the mission of the foundation, which is creating that equitable access to the global financial system. And that includes interoperability with every network out there. It includes no network winning. I'm really a big believer in that. To my core, I think that the only way that we are successful is if we get it so that there's an interoperability layer and so that we have the opportunity to use assets from all networks to make things work, but we're still in this early stage. We're probably like at the crawl stage, right? And we need to think about where we are.
Yeah. Well, the biggest irony is that at the same time, there are folks who are committed to a decentralized open ecosystem, but also think that there's going to be a winner takes all situation that emerges here. And I find that I'm in a position where I get to find that somewhat comical, the juxtaposition, because I'm like, doesn't that give you whiplash that you are holding both those things at the same time? That just seems very challenging. But I can certainly see, you know, how I have to commend you on the focus. I think one of the things that's best known about Stellar is strategic focus, right? Just being very committed to not trying to be all things to everybody, but saying like, this is the mission, this is what we're trying to do. We're focused in this way. Our partnership model, you know, is these different ways and everything else. So listen, I mean, we could go on for another hour easily. There's so much to share and discuss, but thank you so much, Janelle Dixon, for taking the time today. And if there's one thing I suppose you'd love to see over the course of this next year, let's kind of cap this at January 1st. What is maybe the change? Maybe it's a mental change. Maybe it's a regulatory change. Maybe it's something that you think would most benefit the users of blockchain-based ecosystems.
Yeah, so I'll selfishly say that what I'd love to see on Stellar is this notion of everyday financial services really take over and the Sorabon ecosystem become even more vibrant than it already is. And so people are leveraging it for the good of humans. As an industry, though, what I really want to see is, you know, one of the things we were able to do on the content side of the web is that we actually came together pretty well, and we actually got messaging together pretty well as we were talking to the larger bodies out there, whether those be regulatory bodies, policymakers, or whomever we were approaching. And I sometimes feel like we don't do a good enough job on that. And so I would love to see us come together so we can have more of a united face as we approach the policymakers so that we can actually have the more positive spin on, look, this is outcome oriented, and this is how you should think about these assets and these tools. And frankly, I mean, I'd also love to see stablecoin legislation get through in the U.S. so we can be on par with the rest of the world. But those are the things that I think that, you know, 2024 is this year of really us focusing at the Stellar Development Foundation on these uses that are so awesome. And I think it's been great because, frankly, post FTX, we've seen a lot of entities focus on the uses. Before that, it wasn't so much, but now it's all the rage. So that is like a good momentum step and a nice shift for us. And we need to do that with policymakers and regulators globally so that they can embrace this tech stack instead of be fearful of it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. We will definitely go further if we go together. Yeah. My hope is that we will continue, because there was a lot of alignment in the wake of FTX. I think people really did start to come together. And I do see, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, I do see some of that eroding myself. I do see a little bit more of a very competitive environment or mentality taking over. And I think we're just not there yet. We're not at a time when we can be acting in that way. We really need to recognize that we are all in this together, and every one of us is playing a crucial role in normalizing this technology and in indicating its myriad uses globally, yep, all around the world. So I couldn't agree more. Share all of that. And thank you so much, Danelle.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Danelle. And thanks to all of you for listening to Money Reimagined. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.